Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where educators go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top leaders across the globe. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Danny Sunshine Bauer.
This is episode number 100, bonus episode again. That's right, three bonus episodes. I really wanted you to see behind the scenes for the mastermind. Hi there. My name is Danny Sunshine Bauer. I'm a former classroom teacher and school administrator turned life and leadership coach. I'm also the host of this podcast where each week I share my conversation with top leaders across the globe to help you accelerate your leadership development. In today's show with my Thursday 8 o'clock mastermind, we explore a number of interesting topics. And the neat thing about this episode, it is the most out of the ordinary mastermind I've ever run. This group is packed full with 10 members, and because of the summer, probably people were taking vacations, and I remember somebody had graduation, one principal was moving from one school to the other, so we had a smaller, more intimate mastermind with just a few members. So we actually abandoned some of the typical format and allowed everybody some time on the hot seat to answer a number of the problems. So this is the last bonus episode, number 100, and I hope you really enjoy it. Thanks for spending some time with me and listening to this podcast. But before we jump into this episode, I'd like to take some time to thank our show sponsors. Today's podcast is brought to you by CSC Consulting Group, whose mission is to support people in education and nonprofit organizations to improve processes and enhance the performance of their organizations. Learn more at www.cscconsultinggroup.com. Better Leaders, the mastermind has been closed for a few months, but now that I'm pursuing this full time, I have more capacity to serve you and help you accelerate your leadership growth. What is a mastermind? I describe it like a party. I invite great people to this party and believe great things will happen as a result of having authentic conversations around leadership. We meet weekly, engage in rich book discussions, and everyone gets an opportunity to solve their most challenging problem via the hot seat. You can learn more and reserve your spot today at betterleadersbetterschools.com/MM.
All right. Well, hey, guys, I put it in Voxer, and we're going to record this one, if that's all right. And
we're going to record Jasky having dinner.
I'm sorry, you guys.
It's be great for the recording.
Keep it real. You do not change anything just because it's recording.
Now, is it audio or video?
Well,
video of you eating.
My hair's looking great tonight, so I wasn't.
So is mine.
Your hair's looking better than mine.
Yeah, I mean, if you guys just, hey there, buddy.
There you go.
You just want to do just audio, we can.
No, I'm kidding. I'm fine.
Because I think it'd be cool too for people to see, you know, like how we interact.
But, I'm gonna eat one more bite and then I'll be ready.
Yeah, do it. You know,
you can eat the whole night, Jessica. What are you having? Is it good?
It's like little beef and broccoli right now.
It's delicious.
You should have shared. Have enough for all of us.
For sure. You know, I'm on a meal plan right now because Big Day's coming up in July, and Miriam. She's encouraging us to get as fit as possible, right? And I'm 100% supportive of that. And when I was training for the half marathon, you guys know, like, man, I transformed. Like, I added a bunch more muscle, got way leaner. And then somewhere along the last 2 months, with stuff going on at school, I think I just got a little depressed, to be honest, and got a little off track, especially with working out. The meals, I stayed pretty good on. So now I hit the gym, my arms are feeling like jello in my chest, and still eating well. But here's the new thing we're doing, y'all. We're doing green smoothies at night. Oh, man. It's crazy. But it's not so bad at all. So it's ice cubes, a couple of mixed berries, a few handfuls of spinach. I put in about 5 slices of cucumber, 6 carrots, a scoop and a half of vanilla protein, coconut oil, flaxseed, soy milk, and it's actually really delicious and very filling. So we'll be doing that. Yeah. But good to see you all, you know, want to talk a little bit about food and that kind of thing. So, hey, the cool thing too, since we're recording this one, you know, it's June. This is released in July 4th, which is 2 days before my 39th birthday. And I think this is awesome because it's going to be episode 100. And this is like the fruit of the work that we all do, you know? I'm excited to share this with the world. So thank you for participating in that. So cool. Well, why don't we check in real quick? I'm going to see also, Jessica, you could talk about your book proposal, Deep Work Time, to get it done. Did you do it?
Me?
Yeah, the book proposal, because we talked about that last week.
We're recording now, aren't we?
Yeah, it's okay.
All right, we're going to do it. Yes, kind of, sort of, you guys. You'd be so impressed. I actually did a Google Hangout today with a publisher.
Cool. That's fantastic.
So, yeah, that was a little bit above and beyond just writing the proposal. I actually pitched it to a publisher today. So,
and they were receptive?
I think so, yes. So then after tonight, I'm going to go back in and I promised them a couple chapters and an outline. And I want to get that to them yet tonight, since we just had the hangout today, and just, hey, this is the crazy lady you talked to earlier, and here's the stuff I said I would share. So, yeah, I kind of went deep end first, right away.
Mm, I love it. So, Fran, Jason, you know, folks that were on the call last week, I asked for some feedback, because definitely want to always continue to offer great value and then, you know, over-deliver where I can. And some feedback I received is to get the check-ins moving faster, spend more time on questions in the book, and then deeper time on the hot seat, but also to hold people accountable more in terms of what they want to get done. So in the email, you get a Google form, right? It's a survey. You could fill that out. Like, how do you rate things? And if there's like a big thing that you want to try to accomplish over the week. But in addition to filling that out, you know, we can just ask people. That's what they said. And so we talked to Jessica, Kareen, Suzanne, and they were all, you know, they gave like, this is what I'm going to accomplish at the end of the week. So that was pretty cool. It was energizing. And I don't know, did you remember, Jessica? I was going to bring that back up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Okay. I was kind of like, okay, well, I'm going to do this at 3:30 on Thursday, so I'll be ready to answer by 8 tonight. So
nice.
It is like, it's just that other layer of accountability. You know, someone's going to hold you to a higher bar.
For sure.
Especially during this busy time of year, it's nice to have that support.
Yeah. And for me, I'm starting a book called The Soul of a School Leader. And it's inspired. So interestingly enough, I think, was that a week ago or Fran, because you were on the call and then they had to hop off. But you were talking about Seth Godin's What to Do When It's Your Turn. And we talked about that and how we're going to try to impact education through masterminds. But, you know, I mentioned his PDF, Stop Stealing Dreams. And it's super influential, very, you know, just great. It's Seth. So it's like it pushes your thinking. But in that book, he talks about, you know what, critique what I wrote or write your own or whatever. And I said, you know what? Well, now that I'm going to be pursuing this full time, I'm going to write it. And I'm eventually going to send it to him.
Yes.
I'm going to give it to you guys, the email list, have it on the website. It's going to be completely for free. Because I also heard Seth say once with Brian Koppelman on his Best Of show that nobody ever writes their first book for free and just gives it away. So I'm gonna say, well, I did. And I'm going to send him a copy and tell him he inspired it. But I challenged myself to come up with 100 topics. And I want to write basically 250 to 500 words, no more, no less, around each topic. And I'm doing the 12-week year. So if I do 2 topics per day, I'll be done with the first draft in 8 weeks. And so this is my long-winded way of saying, Jessica, not only have I finished the first 5, I think I'm on maybe topic 8 or 9.
Wow.
So it's good. I've been doing it faithfully and knocking them out. So I'm really excited.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
100, you said, Daniel?
Yeah, 100. I brainstormed 100 topics, and I'm just going to, right now I'm not trying to edit. You know, it's garbage. I'm just hoping that each topic has at least one golden nugget that maybe I could flesh out a little bit more once I get through a first draft. But yeah, 100 topics, and it's going to be a PDF. I think I'll hire somebody to design the cover and then send that out to you guys, to Seth, to the email list, listeners of the podcast, all that. So I can't wait.
You got the fire, Daniel.
Got the fire. That's right.
Got the fire for it.
Well, Fred and Jason, what's going on with you guys?
Jason, you can go first. You want me to go?
I was going
to
let you, but that's all right. Either or. So not much is going on. Winding down the year. It's insanely busy at the moment. Just trying to wrap some things up. We have hiring for new positions, continued work. We have a lot of field trips going on, different types of learning experiences. Our students go to a reservation or tribal land, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. So we have 2 grades out right now. fifth grades in Oneida, which is near Green Bay, Wisconsin. So they'll visit Lambeau. And then our eighth grade is in Upper Michigan. So they're up in some Ojibwe or Chippewa territory doing some studying up and have some really cool pictures we hope to post. So winding down, we have a week left of students and then a couple days of in-service. And then I officially take over July 1st as the head of school. Signed my contract already, so they can't go back on it yet unless I breach it. So that's a good thing. Keep me working for, you know, at least another 2 years. So we're excited. We have a lot of things to roll out. We have some hiring to do. So we've been looking through some of that. I've been working with my administrative coach with some of the, you know, this is my first big hire. Hiring our chief academic officer is really going to guide curriculum assessment, engagement, and innovation within our school. So that's going to be a ridiculously important position. So we'll see how that goes. And got some good candidates. Very excited about the pool. And that's about it. Summer school is all signed up. Busing lines are already figured out. So, yeah, so far I haven't school calendar went out. So, I mean, right now everything's been being taken care of, which is good. Nothing's dropping that I'm aware of, at least. Good family feedback, board feedback. So we're going to continue to grow and hopefully do some great things. Get Fran to come visit us in fall. We want him to inspire our teachers going into the school year. So I got to lock that down soon in August, figure out what he's available to do and come in and just energize us up. So
I'd be glad to, Jason.
All right. I will be emailing you soon. So that's about it for me. On a side note, so Fran, your hairdo is extra special to me today, just to give everyone a heads up. So beyond the whirlwind of, you know, wife having surgery, me taking on a new position, taking on multiple positions, finishing my degree program. I was working as an administrator under an emergency administrator's license. I had to finish my degree program for it. So that's all done. I got my diploma today, which was nice. Wow. My master's is all done. And my certification, everything's legit now. It's not emergency or temporary. So that's a nice feeling. Changing jobs and all those types of things. But my dad was diagnosed with cancer a couple of weeks ago. And so he had his first round of radiations this week. So that's on my mind a little bit, but definitely inspiring me to continue to do what I can for people around me. So I appreciate the work that you're doing there, friend. That's extra meaningful for me today.
Yeah we have, you know, I lost two sisters to cancer too, you know, and we had this really cool assembly. It's very emotional. And one of our teachers lost her daughter, just a little girl, 10 years old, to cancer. And so we have this thing, you go bald for bucks, and you have people to donate. We actually had three of our female teachers went bald, which was really quite brave, you know. Maybe about, you know, 15 or 20 were male teachers, and then a whole bunch of students. And it's a cool assembly, you know. We always like to think we're at our best when we're thinking of others and trying to help them. So that was cool. You know, we had a big triathlon just a few days before that. So that was really great to see a lot of students taking risks. It takes some courage to get out there and try something you've never done before and actually complete it. So the triathlon, you know, swimming, biking, running was good for a middle school level. You know, we had a great faculty meeting this morning. Daniel, stole one of your quotes from the sprint.
All right.
Which was, isolation is the enemy of excellence.
Yeah, that's from Greg Sacciacoli, if you remember. He's on the podcast and wrote Enemies of Excellence. So that book, that was like getting just drilled in the eyeball with a fist. That's how much that book impacted me. But it's not my quote. I wish it was.
But we sort of took off on that whole concept that when you isolate yourself emotionally or, you know, from the rest of the staff, you know, you can go back in the corner and hide, but not a lot goes on. But when you start putting out, connecting with people, and stuff starts coming your way, of course, you're going to have to be vulnerable, and it's going to take some courage. And, you know, that's what learning is all about. That's what successful communities are about. So we had a real great faculty meeting. Everyone was so engaged. And then we started looking for examples of people on our own staff who are coming out of their isolation and trying to really step forward. So it was a real inspiring faculty meeting. And, you know, just crazy busy time, you know, like all of you, the end of the year, you know, you're out three nights a week and up early in the morning, you know, it's just it's a sprint, Daniel, from now to the end of June, you know, so.
Yeah. Well done, Fran. You know, I always admire how you, you lead by example, you know, and, this just, I mean, if I could be 10% you, I'd have an even better impact. So I really appreciate it. And Jason, going back to what you shared too, you know, I appreciate your vulnerability and opening up and that kind of thing. And, you know, we'll be praying for you, your family, for yes. sure. Anything we can do, let us know.
Yeah, for your dad, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Hey, so we're going to switch gears a little bit, go over to Deep Work by Cal Newport. So I'm hoping, everybody's still enjoying that book. I know it's challenging, and man, this is some good stuff. I think where I want to start, I really enjoyed this question with other groups, is this idea of a what-how gap. And he was talking about, I don't know if it was him or not, or some other academic going into Intel and trying to help, right, consult. And the lead executive's like, you know, stupid. I know what I need to do. I don't know how to do it, right? And that's something that we probably struggle with too as school leaders. So either personally or professionally, can you describe a what-how gap that you are going through right now?
So one of the things we talked about at our school, and it was actually interesting because our middle schoolers were kind of writing some reflections, our seventh graders, as they transitioned to eighth grade. And so I was in classes today, and it was interesting because they were talking about, you know, in reflecting, what would they do differently? How do they want to start off eighth grade year so that they can, you know, be more successful than perhaps they were at the beginning of the year, or what they can do to continue to show excellence? And so the interesting thing that came out of that discussion with those group of students, and I found myself thinking about for a lot of the rest of the day, is, you know, it's really easy to set goals. Now, how do I make sure that I implement those goals? What steps am I taking? What actions am I doing to move in? And so if I know that my goal is to try to provide teachers with as much time as I can for collaboration, professional growth, an opportunity to try new things, what spaces am I creating? And so that got me into the schedule, and the schedule's a hot mess right now. So my what is, I want to provide time and space within the schedule. Now, how am I going to make that happen with a allotted amount of time? We're a program-rich school, so it's not like you, I mean, we have a long day. Our kids are there for a long time, and we have dedicated people, but we have a lot of things. And so when you say, you know, in one of the earlier works, when you say yes to something, what are you saying no to? And so today I was talking to some teachers who are used to having, like our music teacher, she likes every group all year. And I'm like, but she wants longer classes. And I'm like, okay, well, if you want longer classes, then we need to go 8A, B day, or, you know, semesters, things like that. You know, we have to look at it a little bit differently. And she's like, and she didn't realize that if I want longer classes, I have to do something differently. I can't just extend it out. We're not keeping them there till 6 at night, even though it's a great music program. And so, you know, we're going to talk about that and try to figure it out what makes sense. So for me right now, one of them is my, you know, I want to provide more time, and in particular, sustained time, because right now our schedule is horrible for planning for teachers, because by the time they get students to a location, then they have to get back to their rooms to do any plans, probably 25 minutes. That's, you're not doing anything meaningful. There's no deep work being done in 25 minutes, or limited deep work together.
Yeah.
And so really trying to figure out, okay, well, how do we make, you know, specials or different classes that they don't have to necessarily be present for, adjacent to each other, so that they can get an hour and a half sustained time at least once or twice a week, so that they could do some of that PLC work and then also some of the logistical. They have to do both. There's things just figuring out. So right now, that's, I'm in the midst of scheduling, and I'm not, this is my first full schedule that I'm in charge of and responsible for and presenting. And it is, every time I take two steps forward on it, it's like 10 different problems arise from the one solution that I come up with. So we're working on that together. We actually have a study date on that on Saturday. A bunch of us staff members are going to be in there with Mountain Jack. Jessica, someone told me, I don't remember who it was, or I heard on a podcast. So someone, an administrator, said that in scheduling time, Twizzlers and Mountain Dew, and they just mm-hmm. locked themselves in a room. And so
Zane might have said that.
Someone I heard, and I was like, that's a great idea. So I'm going to load up on some Mountain Dew and Twizzlers, and we're going to get that done for sure by next week. So teachers know going into the summer what their schedule looks like mm-hmm. for next year.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a struggle. I haven't figured it out yet. So the gap is, I know what I want to do, and I even know how I could make parts of it happen. There's just so many moving parts, it's hard to get it all out.
Well, we can stay there for a little bit, because Suzanne was supposed to be on the hot seat tonight, and I just peeked in Boxer as we were chatting, and she typed in there that she had a family crisis, so she can't be there. Eric's had a baseball game. Kareen had some other event going on. So it's kind of funny, we're recording the one when everyone can't show up, right? Nancy's been...
You scared him away with that.
Yeah, maybe that was it. Nancy's been out of control because of moving into a principal role and all that kind of stuff. So everyone's just been very, very busy. And Andrew's taking a break until August. But yeah, let's stay there and see if we could help Jason then. Mm-hmm. And that was mostly, if I was hearing you correctly, like trying to figure out how to provide more time for staff, right?
Yep. So just imagine you have two K-4 through 8th grade classes. We have native language, so they all have to take a native language. So because we're a school that services Native American students, that's important. So language in particular is important for our culture and everything that we do. So they're definitely taking that. So that's non-negotiable. Language arts and math, obviously. Language arts, big blocks together. So trying to get it, depends on age level, but ultimately, you know, over an hour, but up to about an hour and a half to kind of connect language arts and reading together. So it's all inclusive, writing, reading, and language arts. But then we also have music, art, FIAD. Those are the musts. FIAD, art, music, native language. And those are the big ones right now. And then there are regular classes. We have science, social studies, math, language arts. We have a full-time library media specialist. So there's, you know, often some library time within that. Literacy, different types of disengagement. It's also where our maker spaces are, so they get some opportunity in there. What else? So that's it. And then you got our day. We have a long day, though. It's like 8 till 3:30. So, I mean, there's a good amount of time within that day. Classes start at 8. They get to school before that. They have bed breakfast at our school, so they're already there, ready to go by 8 until 3:30. Oh, yeah, and then we have mentoring. The whole school mentors at the same about 35 minutes every once a week. Everyone in the building is in mentoring. And so all the adults, all the students are working with each other on growing relationships. So trying to fix all those parts is the tricky part. So
do you have performing ensembles like band, orchestra, chorus?
Our music teacher would love it. But I told her that then we'd have to hire another music teacher. I said, you can't do both. And so she wants to do all of it. Somehow magically clone herself or something like that. But yeah, we would love to because I think that that's huge and an awesome opportunity for kids. So we're hoping at some point within the near future to build, you know, performing arts type center where then we would hire on another person that would be responsible for that. Because she does 2 musicals a year, does great programs. And so we want to continue with that. So none of that other stuff right now. And then any sports and different types of things after school activities. I mean, everything's after.
Jason, how does your intervention blocks work? Like if you have any extension or remediation, where does that currently slide in?
Currently, that is typically opposite native language. And so what that is every single student goes somewhere for 30 minutes a day. It's not a full intervention block.
Yep.
It's an abbreviated one, though. But it's every grade level is 30 minutes. Hopefully, the idea is we have enough interventionalists who are actually certified teachers and everything else, too, that might be working within the classroom. There are some that would be small group workouts, just because that works best within what they need. But in general, having 2 adults in the classroom working with all groups, and then there's different activities within there, we have enough people to hopefully make that happen for the majority of our grade levels next year. We have basically 3 interventionalists full-time, all day, plus a reading specialist. So 4 adults other than that don't technically have other duties other than supporting learning in the class. And so right now they have groups during different times, but we're looking at that differently.
Okay, I'm totally geeking out about this too because it's in my old middle school world.
Yeah.
So if they're in intervention, they're not receiving their language block? Is that what you're saying?
No, they still do.
So they're getting
it's in addition, yep.
Okay. So, and the intervention was your every day of the week?
Yep.
It'd be neat if you could braid that or blend that into that language arts larger block because you spoke of, you know, working with the general ed teachers. And I know, I mean, at our level, obviously it's earlier elementary, but we have, you know, a 90-minute portion of the day dedicated to language arts. But when they're in those small group rotations, that's when we push in the interventionist and do either remediation or extension. So when it's in the classroom, then they're not, you don't have all that transition time, hallway time. They just push in and then we cluster the kiddos. So then they have like groups that go through rotation and then there's no stigma to it either because she might be working with multiple groups, some needing direct support from her and some just light supervision.
Yeah, that's exactly kind of what we want it to look like too, because the good thing about the lack of stigma right now is that everyone goes somewhere. Some people don't generally know what they're going for. I mean, some of them start figuring out as they get older, but in general, everyone's going somewhere. So it's not a big deal. But when we change that a little bit, we do want to provide that support. And then they're working with all students, but then for sure making assistance and helping those that need accommodations or pushing those further that might need to extend. So, and even, you know, right in the middle, just good teaching is good teaching. And so helping those students and having extra adults in the room. So, because our class sizes aren't that, our max class size per classroom is 20. So having 2 adults with 20 kids in there is a really nice opportunity to do some good work on gaining, you know, skill sets and achievements, and so looking at that a little differently. But I like that idea of just getting them in there, making sure that we think about when those times are, because there is still a whole group of times and introducing concepts and everything else. And so that would give them opportunity then to be in more places as well.
And what grade levels do you have in your school, Jason, again?
4-year-old kindergarten through 8th grade. So 10, you know, essentially.
That is a pretty long day, too, that you have, you know?
Our 4-year-olds are tired by the end of the day, for sure.
Yeah. Especially
because we bus all our kids in, so we are located outside of the city where the majority of our students live, so it's an urban population, but we're in a suburb because that's where we could get 180 acres. So we could be outside in different things, and so some of our kids are on the bus for an hour or a little bit over an hour, and then we try to make sure that the 4-year-olds aren't picked up first. So they're hopefully only on for about 45 minutes, but either way, it's still, you know, it's significant. And we have all shorter buses. Everyone's on a smaller bus, so it's less pickups, less stops, but it's door to door. But they're on there. Some kids get up on the bus by 6:11, I think is our earliest pickup. Wow. And don't get home until 5:30. Those students that have that day is insane. Usually a little bit of our older students, and that's our really northern boundary. And that's, if they wanted a smaller one, they just got to move a little closer to us. That would be helpful because there's just really no way around it if they want to come to our school. It's geographically impossible to get them there any quicker.
Do you guys have any flexibility over the schedule? It's kind of late in the year to make major changes. But, you know, you talked to the one music teacher about AB block days. Can you do anything like that?
Absolutely. Yeah, we can do anything we want with the schedule as it relates to next year for sure. The goal would be whatever we do, we have to be able to complete in the next couple of weeks because we do want to give it to them before they leave. We don't want them to not know what to expect and to plan for. So the goal would be, you know, I have some templates and things out, you know, what it kind of looks like. And then we're going to be working on it hard the next couple of weeks and some of us volunteering some time outside hours to get that done. So that way it's all ready to go for staff right before they leave that in-service time.
I think our staff appreciated Block's schedule for sure. Because of the depth you can go in. And I'm talking from a high school perspective. They felt it was like really preparing kids for college, what they'd experienced there. I think one major tale of caution would be to make sure you provide adequate professional development for your staff so that they don't just teach a 45-minute lesson longer.
For an hour and a half.
Right.
Slower and louder.
Yeah. Slower
or alive. Cover multiple topics in one day. Don't really get any deeper. Let's just get through more real fast.
So that is like an absolute must. One thing that really helped our staff think about how to break up the time was the gradual release model of responsibility. Have you heard of that one?
Mm-hmm.
Right now off the top of my head, I can't remember who wrote it actually. So I'm a little embarrassed by that, but. Oh. But the good,
yeah. You keep going. I think.
Oh, can you remember?
It's not Fisher and Frey, is it?
It is Fisher and Frey. Yeah, I think you're right.
Fran, so. I get a point there.
You do.
Channel my Fran there.
Bam. So we'll link that up for sure.
Can you channel some of that food over here? That's what I want.
Let it go, Fran. Let it go. And but the gradual release of responsibility splits up a lesson into like 4 parts. And it's challenging for some teachers because it really abbreviates and makes concise like the typical sort of lecture traditional way of delivering instruction. And it's more about like modeling because you're the expert thinker, so you should show what you're supposed to do. But it moves from there to practicing with the class and practicing in smaller groups and then independent practice. I mean, that's essentially it, you know, in terms of scaffolding it so that kids are doing more of the work and teachers are working with smaller groups so that they can really, you know, if you're thinking about splitting kids up into their, what they need, right? Not every kid needs the same type of intervention in the class. You could form your groups that way. So, you know, you're talking also about consistent formative assessment and get a sense of where all the kids are and then delivering exactly what it is they need. But also I had a very, very helpful way of setting up the modeling part of the lesson. And I think when I was actually an instructional coach, the most profound part that I actually didn't do that often before reading this book was anticipate student mistakes. You know, that was a game changer for me. I could think of maybe questions they might ask and all these other parts. But for me, thinking about the common mistakes that they often make and then highlighting it and saying, don't do this, like caution, this is this is trouble right here and you can avoid it. That was really a real big game changer in terms of my own instruction. So, you know, I sent out an email after each group each night. So I've already written a note to send that to you guys, and then podcast listeners will get it in the show notes as well. Today's podcast is brought to you by CSC Consulting Group, a social enterprise with a vision to catalyze sustainable change in our society, one organization at a time. I know one of their leaders, AJ DeLeon, and I worked with him in Chicago. He is a data whiz, and if you're looking for that kind of help, I strongly encourage you to reach out at www.cscconsultinggroup.com.
And Jason, one like overarching thing, especially because you're bringing in teams and they're dedicating time outside of contract time to do it, is to maybe even just have an introductory discussion of what do we feel our students need next year, yeah. Whether it's, you know, a common block for this, whether it's more of this, more of that, and then put it up somewhere. So as you continue to make adjustments to the schedule, are you honoring what we intended to do? Because sometimes you can get so ingrained in moving this and moving that, and moving this and moving that, so the schedule looks beautiful, but in turn, then you're taking away what your intention was with the kids.
Yeah, we identify those, and so we call those our non-negotiables. What are the things that we are? Yeah, we have those identified because these are the things that we must have. Now, we also have some of the things that we would like to have, and so the teacher planning time every day extended is I would like to have as much as language arts sustained block time together. Because we have some grade levels right now that have broken up language arts based on where their specials fall, and it just ruins the flow of learning. And so though it's nice because the teachers have some breaks and some times, and other, it might be convenient for adults in the way that it's organized, it's not what's best for kids. So, you know, we identified all those kid non-negotiables first. What is going to be best for learning in the building now? You know, what's the very next best thing that we can do to help make sure that teachers have what they need too? Because that is important for student learning. And so that's the next part of just trying to figure in the blocks.
And like one last thing, like at the elementary level too, one thing I said too is when we really, my second year, we totally redid our schedule. I said, give it a year. If it doesn't work or you don't like the schedule, at the end of the year, you guys can, you know, your teams can pick a different lunch block or a different recess box or whatever, but let's just give it a year. And so they knew at the end of the year they had the out. And ironically, at the end of the year, they didn't switch. And we found out that kids can have reading in the afternoons in the elementary grades. You can like still teach reading because that was such a big barrier. They all wanted the reading before lunch and we couldn't get that done anymore and get intervention. And the teachers that have reading in the afternoon, the kids are learning at the same levels. But it was that change and that fear of change. And we just said, just give it a year. If it doesn't feel right for you or your students, then we'll make some adjustments. And nobody did then. But it was almost like giving them that there might be something at the end if it's not working. Like we're not going to stick with this for life if it's not working.
Yeah, I like that. I'm definitely have to make sure we talk about that when we roll it out.
Gosh, I love scheduling.
Yeah, you're crazy.
You really love it?
I do. I don't get to do much of it anymore.
When you send me a spreadsheet later tonight, make sure you do like that book stuff later.
Post-it notes now in kindergarten here and here and here. But when we were at the middle school, it was incredible. It was a lot of fun. It's challenging.
It's hard with multi-age. That's the hardest part. Like, I loved intermediate and middle school scheduling and doing some of those. It was so much easier. Navigating 4-year-olds and then 14-year-old schedules is just together. It's fun. We got rid of one of the things that we did when I came into an associate principal. We got rid of bells. We're not all on the same bell schedule.
Yep.
It's just not going to work in our schedule. Make sure all the clocks are set the same. That's your bell. And the bell doesn't dismiss you, the teacher does. And so we had to get rid of all bells because it was obnoxious. A bell going off in the middle of someone else's class because
that's terrible.
We can't be on the same schedule. That's not a luxury we have. Mm-hmm.
We used to bank our minutes, Jason, and go a little extra longer, I guess, each day. And then every 10th day, it would be a shorter day with an advisory class and 2 big seminar classes. And we would teach fun classes like yoga and all this kind of stuff and robotics and, you know, how to braid natural hair. And I don't know, even how to pick stocks. Like it was really diverse in terms of what was offered to kids, but you can also squeeze in big blocks of intervention time there as well. You know, folks you'd lose that day, right? Sort of like just in the weekly schedule. But since you had longer minutes, it all balanced out. So that's something, I don't know if you want to consider that too, because you already have like the culture class, it sounds like, and the intervention during a similar time and everybody's going somewhere. But maybe that's just another way of structuring it, if it makes sense what I'm saying.
Yeah, we are open to everything. So that kind of makes sense. And looking at, you know, we used to do something where we had like assembly days. And so it'd be like, there would be, because we don't want to send kids home because of the fact that we bus and everything else and families kind of depend on that. We limit the number of half days or early release days. I know a lot of schools in our area have like a day out a week, or that they're going early, or a day a month. I'm just like, logistically, families figuring this out is amazing that they do it, but I don't know how. And so for us, what we would do though, is we did have assemblies or different things. And so there'd be some supervision and people within groups that, and then other folks could get together on content area, or it might be a specific problem solving team meeting or whatever it might be. And so then they would be, you know, they'd have a couple hours of vertical planning perhaps, and different things where, you know, other paras or specials, one month they're covering, and then the next month the classroom teacher is covering, all specials get together and talk about how they're going to integrate something together, work on some projects or whatever it might be. So I want to try to get back to figuring out at least some of those types of days where we can do some whole, either larger groups or school type things, maybe in the morning, you know, older teachers are doubling up some of their classrooms with their kids and the younger kids, and they're reading together and the younger grades get together, and then switch. The bigger kids come down by the younger, and the older, you know, grade level teachers get to get some time together. Because of the fact that our classes aren't ridiculously huge, we have some specials and intervention and other people that can assist. So giving some more time for that too, so it's not just grade level time, but there's some also, you know, close grade level partnerships and things that can happen. Because we have, our board is dedicated, you know, one day a month for professional development, and that's a day where there is no school attendance. Families know about it ahead of time. That's a whole day where they have some time to do things. And it's not just all meetings all day. Sometimes it's, you know, working on new curriculum ideas or creating assessments together or analyzing results from those together, things like that. A lot of it this year was culture related. So hopefully we can kind of balance some of that. So I do have the solution tree guides. I did go to Lincolnshire as well. And so got to see the DeForest do some karaoke. And that's always fun. And so, yeah, PLC, we're going to try to break out a little bit more specifically, because right now, we don't have PLCs, and our meetings are tends to be about either planning field trips or complaining about some change that just got thrown on them, perhaps, you know, logistics, different types of things. I'm getting someone rolling my eyes at me. One of the teachers doesn't agree with that, that's what happens.
Well, they lives with you.
Yeah, she's right here. She's over here. She's got a beautiful haircut, though. Her bangs look really cute. She just got a hair. I know, right? She might actually show up on camera today. They don't believe you exist. They hear about you all the time, but you never, ever show up. So
I believe.
Daniel believes.
Without
seeing. Nice. So, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff that goes on, and they actually meet pretty well together in general. You know, it's been hard this year with bubble change, but we definitely want to do more succinct PLCing, and I have some background within it, so I hope to help with that.
Yeah, cool. Hey, does anybody else want to describe a what-how gap that they're currently facing, professional or personal?
I have one, and I think you guys will be able to help me with this one. I know you will. But so probably like February, I mean, throughout the year, but February is when I really start thinking about site planning for the next year. Mm-hmm. And this year I tried something where just on the back of my door, I put a big poster board. And as we had meetings with different teachers or stakeholders, we just throw like a post-it note on, like, think about this or something we want to do next year. And so then I've got them into like three major aims we want to work on. And then I even have like post-it notes underneath it of here's some of the action items and here's how we're going to measure it. But they're all on post-it notes, and they've been sitting there since March. And when you open my door wide enough, you don't even know that they're behind there. So if I have open door for a week or two, I forget that they're there. But now it's like June, you guys.
Yeah.
So I obviously, and then I'm kind of thinking rhythm of the year. Teachers aren't, and staff aren't going to want to sit with me in May or June to talk about next year. So maybe I'm rushing it too much. Like sometimes my time frame and the rhythm of the year aren't jiving. Like I would think, oh, I need to get this out before the end of the year. And I'm looking at the staff, and they're like, they're just thinking about the next five days.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And I don't think, and I also don't want to put things on them to think about over the summer, or, oh, make sure you do all this, you know. Well, I don't know, you guys. So do I, and I feel like when we talk about deep work, it is difficult right now to do any type of deep work. As soon as I think I have a chunk of time, something comes up, whether it's summer school registration, another para quits, drama in a classroom. I'm not getting that time, and I'm really trying not to take it out of my weekends right now either with family stuff.
Good.
So do I, is it, I mean, do I have grace to just do this in the summer and then take it back to site teams in August maybe? And do either, any of you have a good way to roll this out, like informal coffee talks? I was thinking about doing like a, I know Andrew's done those TouchCast videos. Mm-hmm. So instead of making everybody come into a big staff meeting to go over it, like putting it on a video, a 5-10 minute video and pushing it out, bringing people in and just having like round table discussions with coffee. Any ideas?
So these are about different changes and new directions you'd like to take regarding your day, your schedule.
Well, just kind of like here are the main, the big three things that we as a building are going to focus on next year is PLCs, PBIS, and amplifying and innovating our lessons. So those are our main three aims. And then underneath it, we have here's the professional development around it. Here's the ways we want to monitor and measure that growth. So everything is, like, we've done front-loading. We've done workshops around all this. They all know it's coming. Mm-hmm. But I still need to present it in some type of a format. So, you know what I mean? Because I think it's just important to be intentional about it. But and I also want it to be where they can, somebody could come up to the secretary or a paraprofessional or a teacher, and they would know the big three things that we're working on in our school.
Well, like, do you, like, one thing we do is we have, you know, a lot of similar kind of projects or concerns. And often what I'll do is say, hey, it's busy time of year. I'm going to be meeting at this time, maybe a half hour before school or pick time out and say, hey, if you can make it great, if you can't, totally understandable, but at least you're inviting some input. And I know you have some ideas about where you want to go with a lot of these, right? How you're going to get through the PBIS or whatever, or the PLC. So, you know, you're allowing some input and then you're moving forward. You know, you got to move forward, right?
Yep.
Because you'll just, if you drag feet, then it adds stress to you and it's piling up. And so you invite people, schedule a time, you know, and go with whoever comes. And then if someone else wants to add input, if you can't make it, you want to shoot a few of your ideas to me or something.
Yep. You know? So optional, but availability, and then varying ways of giving feedback.
Because, you know, you're going to be doing PBIS. It's not going to be just next year, right?
Right. Well, this will be our sixth or seventh year doing it. What we're doing is, so all this stuff is where it's staples in our building. But, for example, with PBIS, I keep doing this because we have clip charts. You ever seen those old, you're on green, you're on red, you're on yellow, you're on black, hired. We're pitching those. I'm putting them all in the little bonfire in my backyard, and we're getting rid of the let's figure out who's on what color and go home and tell our parents. But instead, we're replacing it with zones of regulation. And everybody's had front loading on it. We're doing a 8-hour training on it in June. But I think, like, somehow I need to keep these visuals around so everybody remembers. Remember, we went through this big training about this. We all talked about it. We're making these decisions because research shows that having kids internally figure out their emotions is better than externally representing it on a clothespin. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're not new, but we're just making tweaks to make things better fit our student population.
Yeah, so two things. One is I like making sure that, you know, we always err on the side of, we would like to err on the side of providing more information than not enough information. Okay. And in particular, putting it out there, and if they choose to read it, great. If they choose not to, they'll be revisited at the beginning of the year so that we can get that going. But the worst is to be able to say, well, why, you know, didn't you share it earlier or something of that sort? I would have looked at it over the summer, things like that. But I like the idea of people being able to drop in or setting up some flexible times, even Google Docs or things like that. If there's questions that come up and arise, it's almost like an open form question box. And you could just ask or post anything of what's going on in your mind about these things, even if they're broken up into those sections of the three aims that you're trying to look at. And I know Daniel's normally the king of crazy outside the box thinking, but if you want them to have like that PBIS, the clip chart thing, you get them some like koozies for their summer activities, and then they could have a little picture on it, and they'd be thinking about it all summer for you.
Oh, there we go.
And
I
so,
love it.
Because I know a few of my staff members would be enjoying some of the beverages in those, and so then they would see it, and they would find it hilarious, for sure, sport it wherever they were.
I might, even like our little mantra, that might actually be a neat Suzanne moment, like in the back to school when I have everybody at the house, whatever our mantra is that we decide, I could make little koozies with it and stuff.
That would be fun.
They'd all have it then. That's a great idea.
The neat thing, too, it promotes, like, relaxation as well, you know? So it's, like, it's really neat on multiple levels. Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. I guess my out of the box, well, it's not so out of the box because it's what I do, but, you know, in terms of building a platform and having a podcast and that kind of stuff, one of the beauties of it is it's evergreen. We record it once, right? Or like the goal crushing workshop that I'm running. It's 6 weeks blending the 3 month year, procrastinate on purpose, and the miracle morning, teaching on that, but then having a group coaching environment to see real change, have accountability. It's recorded once. Now people can take that, you know, at their own speed. And so I wonder, you know, you got Fran's model, hey, I'll be here for 30 minutes or whatever. Join me if you can. But why not record it? You know what I mean?
And then
disperse that out to your community. You know, even the parents, like everybody. You know, I have a microphone from Shure. It's the MV88. It's like under $200. It's probably about maybe 150, 120. But plugs right into the iPhone, and it's like high quality podcast style. It's incredible.
Okay.
So you could do that, or, you know, record however you want. We could talk offline about ways of doing that.
That'd be great.
But you could, you know, so make it available as audio, or why not record it, you know, as video? Just set up a tripod. You know, your phone is good enough in terms of recording video. Lighting is really the only thing that matters, and you could have that as well. You know, and going crazier, you know, I wonder what would happen if you did it like Facebook Live, you know? People could like literally be there, but not be there. They could put questions in the chat box and that kind of stuff. And again, evergreen, because once you hit, you know, it's over, then it gets shared on your feed and people continue to watch even though it's not live anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What themes are you seeing? You know, the importance of aligning personal and professional vision. So Eric asked, you know, what am I seeing theme-wise in that group coaching thing? And not ignoring the personal because it impacts the professional so much. And I think also, you know, we all like to talk about being effective and doing all this stuff. But at the end of the day, I think it helps. I know that on my own, I don't accomplish that much. But last week when I told Jessica I'm going to write 5 chapters of my, you know, 5 topics, my first book, and I knew I was going to see her the very next week, that was great motivation for me to do that. So part of it's the accountability, the community, that's a theme. The intentionality, you know, so many of us get swept up by the urgency, the supposed urgency of stuff that happens right in front of us, that we get away from what's really, really important. And if you remember way back when to procrastinate on purpose, we all know that time is our most valuable resource. And, you know, it doesn't matter how much money you have, you're not going to buy anymore. It's a finite resource. And he had a graph that talked about like on y-axis urgency, maybe the x-axis importance. But then he drew this like diagonal line. And he said this one was significance. And so when you could think about, you know, you guard against the stuff that pops up that seems like a fire that has to be put out. And you say, you know what, this hour I said I was going to work on this because it's so important.
Mm-hmm.
When you're able to really, really stick to that, that buys you time in the future. Because now that huge, you know, boulder you were trying to push, it's been moved and you've now created more space. So that's another big thing too. That intentionality, that significance portion of how we spend time.
How do we help teachers with that? Because they can't do that.
Why not?
During the school day.
Why can't they?
Well, I guess I would just say, you know, they got 20 to 30 kids in their classroom all day. You know, it has to be outside of that time. And it just, I think that's a challenge.
I think for me, at least how I'd answer it, the class periods are difficult. But I think the opportunity lies in their planning time and how they really use it. And if they're honest about it, okay? Because here's the thing. Like, I'm doing my 3-month goal crusher, 12-week tracker, whatever you want to call it. And here, I can even pull it up while we're talking. Share screen. Not open. But the thing about the 12-week tracker, and again, the community, the accountability, you'll see that I had to acknowledge, like, what it does is it makes you look in the mirror like, guess what, guys? So I want one of my goals, personal goals, lose 2-4% body fat, right? And I started this 12-week year on Tuesday because Monday was Memorial Day. But I didn't work out. I did not work out. And one of the other themes is that we have this big goal that's that lag indicator. But what we need to measure are the lead indicators, the weekly tactics, the daily things that we say that's important, that's going to get us that losing 2-4% body fat. And so I'm connecting this to my planning time, right? Because I say, like, I want X to happen, but I spent 15, 20 minutes talking about how the new AP looked fat in her new jeans or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just wasted time. And when I track it and I have to share it and I look at it myself, like, okay, I'm not going to lose that body fat if I don't work out. And then Wednesday, I didn't follow my meal plan because we had Texas barbecue. And so I loaded up on the brisket and the sausage, and it was delicious. And I'm going to make that up actually this weekend. So it's going to balance out. But these type of things, mm-hmm. you know, make me stay on point. And you can see, right, there's all my writing on the topic. So I've been good there with the book. But that's the thing is, like, I think in my experience, because I'm just speaking for myself, I wasted a lot of planning time. I did. And that's a self-accountability thing and a group accountability thing too. So maybe that's the question as well, is like, to make deep work happen, how do we build teams that are so effective together that they really maximize the time that we give them because mm-hmm. we're professionals.
And I think that's it. I think ultimately finding those teams and dynamics and really, you know, creating force multipliers, you know, that idea of who's going to go out there and really amplify the work that's being done. Because I was horrible at planning time. I didn't do it. As a teacher, I was rarely in my room during planning time. I just wasn't. I was making connections with kids. I was checking out what other teachers were doing in their classrooms to see what to do and what not to do. Because that was just me. I wasn't, you know, I planned at night. I had time when kids went to bed. That's when I liked doing that kind of stuff anyway. Or I didn't mind giving up some of my weekend times early morning because no one likes waking up early in my house. And so those types of things I spent building relationships. But as a team, we had strengths. And so those people that were really good at following through with making sure that all of our paperwork was in, so our field trip could get done, or, you know, creating newsletters for our team, and we just give them the information. We had people on our team that were good at that stuff, and that's what they loved doing. And where we had a couple of students that were taking away from the learning in other students' classrooms, they can come over by me for a while, and we learn, you know, they'll still get some learning in, and we'll get them so that the rest of the class can learn. Mm-hmm. And we talk about it. We had meetings with just the kids that were being some issues at lunchtime, sitting with them and, you know, getting down to really what is going on. And I think that it depends on empowering your people. And I think that that's what sometimes happens with administration. When I'm unavailable, I'm no longer enabling my staff to just depend on me all the time. When I'm unavailable because I'm doing something else, I'm now empowering them to see the strengths in themselves that they didn't even know that they could solve some of these things on their own, because I'm always trying to solve everything, which is one of my defects, is trying to fix everything for everyone all the time so they don't have to grow. And that's where I struggle. So I literally had to build in the time so that they can see it. You can solve these problems. You have the power. I don't have to be the one doing it. And by doing that, it freed up my time. It also freed up their time because then other people see them as problem solvers, and kids are more, you know, they behave better around them. They do things differently. But creating those groups is a challenge because all people are different and their strengths are different, and how they will mesh even together can be a problem at times or a benefit. And so I think that really for, you know, to Eric's point, how do we give teachers that opportunity to build that deep work, is that you really build an environment where they want to continue to grow and to work and they feel comfortable. If they're spending so much time or energy because the environment around them is toxic or dangerous or detrimental, then they're not going to get into that. And so how do you do that? Sometimes it's changing grouping. Sometimes it's holding people accountable and having conversations saying, this is not who we are, so we don't treat each other like this. If there's a conflict between staff members, that's one of the things that, you know, I find myself doing, saying, this isn't who we are. We don't do this. And you're calling them on it, not in front of everyone, just saying, you know, if we have to continue to have these conversations, it will be serious and we will have to talk about it in front of someone else. But ultimately right now, this what's going on, how do we solve it for the benefit of the kids and the environment that you work in? Because we found that staff members that like what they're doing and who they're working with and what's going on, even if they don't get along with the person perfectly, will work a lot harder and get to that deep work. And they'll do more for the organization and for their students.
We should dig into that one a later time, because that's a really awesome question. And Jessica, just to reflect back to you, and then we're going to talk about some accountability stuff. But I think you mentioned a lot of great ideas before we even started the discussion. So the coffee one was good. And I think that the definitely the idea of grace, like give yourself some grace. Yes. It doesn't all have to happen right now. Okay. And you said, you know, maybe I could wait till August. I think you can. So give yourself permission for that. And maybe one more out of the box. Like we use Voxer so much in our group and other leader, you know, and principal groups. I wonder if some folks can participate in a Voxer chat on that topic. And finally, sometimes they pay teachers to come in over the summer. So give them some time to chill and recharge, but then maybe they'll come in.
I'm not sure, you know. I understand.
Did you hear me?
Yes, Fred. Yeah, we'll keep that in the podcast too. That's hilarious. I'm not, I don't know what that is, but I'm sorry you don't understand. maybe you can bring them in and you know, pay them a little bit towards that fire or something.
No, these are some really good ideas.
Switching gears and finishing up, let's talk about one main thing we'd like to accomplish. Don't tell me why, just what the thing is we're going to talk about next week. So the one main thing you're going to accomplish by next week. Jason, let's start with you.
One thing by next week. Oh, man. Yeah, come back to me if someone else has one. Give me a second. Let me think.
Fran, how about you?
Well, I have to give a 1 hour talk on fatherhood at church. How about that?
Ooh, absolutely.
I have to get that together this week.
That's awesome. Let's know how it goes. Share your notes, too.
Okay.
Yeah. 1 hour talk, fatherhood. That's cool. Eric, what's one main thing you'd like to accomplish by next week?
Struggling a little bit. Just come jumping in late here, trying to think a little bit.
You can think for a second. I got mine now. Perfect. It took me a minute to figure it out. Wow. I'll give you a second, Eric. I'll try to help you out because I was struggling there for a minute. So I'm going to speak back on it. We have our graduation. So this is my first graduation as head of school. I'm not winging my part of the speaking. I'm going to actually plan and write down what I would like to talk about and say, though it won't be verbatim, but at least have ideas organized and outlined out. So I'm going to report back on that and show that to everyone. Because I am one to not have that done, and I'm going to do that.
Good self-awareness. Jessica, how about you?
I am going to get into every classroom every day for the last 3 days of school. It is too easy to get roped into meetings and phone calls and stuff that can wait till the kids are out of the building. So I'm going to spend Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday just really with kids.
Awesome. Eric, you got one now?
Every school in your district.
Yeah, we're out of school.
Oh, that's easy then. Then you could get there for sure.
We've been out for a week. I think I want to spend a good hour, focused hour, getting a rough draft together for an admin retreat at the beginning of August. You know, I've got a lot of ideas already and feedback from principals and others. So, yeah.
Great.
That's exciting. I like that. So rough draft admin retreat. Mine, I've been good on pace in terms of writing the book. So another thing I think would add value to listeners and to email subscribers and just blog readers is to have summaries of the books we read because I think they're super helpful. So I wrote in a leadership book summary for Essentialism, and it actually ranks on Google's first page, like, maybe number one or number two. If you look, if you look up Leadership Book Report, it's ranks on Google's first page. So I think that would be something cool to offer leaders. So that's now that I'm going to be pursuing this full time. That's one way I want to add value is like, here's great books we read. Here's summaries of it really quick. You know, feel free to buy if you want to go deeper. This is what we read in the masterminds. So I think there's like so many good reasons to do that. Plus it'll help me understand. Like, you know, I'm teaching now the reteaching 12-week year procrastinate purpose and the miracle morning. Well, guess what? That's like I'm reaping so many benefits from that. Things that I didn't even catch the first time going through it, like, wow, it is really impactful. So that's my 1 week goal. Not the whole thing, guys. I'm going to get it started because that's a big, chunky, juicy book. So I'll write that one down. Cool. All right. We're a little bit over time. It's bedtime. So good to see you all. Love you all. And catch you next Thursday, same time.
That's good.
Have a good week, everyone.
Good night. Yep, right. You too.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Better leaders, just a few more things before you take off.
If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show. This helps gives the show some social proof, aka iTunes juice, and encourages new people to listen to the show. If you are a social media junkie, share your biggest takeaway from the show, and feel free to tag me on Twitter or Instagram. My handle is Alien Earbud, an anagram for my name, Daniel Bauer. Take the letters, switch them around, and create something interesting and new. That's how I got it. This Sunday is the weekend resource. Do you want to get a short email from me every Sunday where I share the best resources I have come across, links to interesting articles, books, blogs, and podcasts that have challenged my thinking, and a quote that's inspired me and will inspire you as well? If you'd like access to this resource, head over to betterleadersbetterschools.com and join the newsletter at the top of the page. Over 1,000 school leaders subscribe, and I think you'll benefit from it too. In the newsletter, I also share when a new blog or podcast comes out, as well as different opportunities to work with me. Thanks again for listening to the show.